And welcome back to part two of the Sunday Evening Jukebox Party. It is myself, Martin, with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And we've had a message in from Terence Perring. We'll be hearing some of his music later on. And he says, Kevin is really talented. That is for sure. So thank you for your comments there, Terence. Don't forget, listeners, if you would like to comment on the programme, if you'd like to send any requests, you can either text 07592 404010. That's 07592 404010. You can leave a message, as Terence has, on our Facebook group, The Flash On Air, just underneath my post of this programme. All you need to do is look out for a big picture of a big gold jukebox and lots of writing on it and underneath it as well. Or you can email our studio at theflashonair.co.uk. Okay, we are back now talking to Kevin about his musical his musical vehicle, I guess. Oh, that's a bit of a pun, isn't it?
Yep.
Big Blue Car. Now, sir, we're going to play another track from you very shortly. But first of all, I must ask the following. As with most musicians, quite often they find that they're not really able to make money out of the things they enjoy doing, i.e. producing music and performing music, and the real job often gets in the way. Tell us a bit about some of the jobs that you've done outside of your musical work.
Quite boring, really, because I was, after coming out of art college, I went to Portsmouth. I just came out and worked in the graphic design trade industry, in various forms, from advertising, rebranding, brand creation, and that's something that I've always done, and in fact that's part of the draw for me to produce my own DIY music projects, because I do the covers and the all the artwork as well, so that's part of that. But that, yeah, I've worked for various companies. I've been self-employed for half that time. I got fed up with doing advertising and print work, which was initially how I was sort of trained up to do mainly print-based stuff. And then once the Macs came out and went into all the newspapers and publishing, that opened up a whole new area of interest for me. But after that, I then got into web design and worked for a massive corporation, learning how to design websites and you know, heuristic evaluation and all this sort of stuff, usability testing, and so really that's I've always been in design in some way, and I think that that's quite, well, very structured. And I think the idea of me being able to use the sort of creative juices, if you like, in my music, means that I'm answerable to no one. I just do my own stuff with the music. So
there is a kind of a link between the two.
There absolutely is.
And the reason I ask that, I mean, it may seem as if we're going off of subject, but the reason I do is because with most musicians, it is an issue, isn't it? Whereby they really want to just concentrate on their music, but at the same time you have to live, you have to earn money, and it's a struggle to earn money from producing your music. So you find that there's a bit of a balance to find.
Yeah, I think there always is, but I suppose it depends on whether you're actually a gigging band and you can earn a little bit of money from that, and whether you're writing as a group. I think that's the dynamics are slightly different there. If you're simply someone who just writes music and tries to do everything yourself, then obviously, and if you're not going out and gigging, then yes, it is very much a balancing act. But for me personally, it's something I've always done, never not done it. So it is, it's something that I go and do my job, and then I steal time to do writing. I've got my own little studio, and that's fantastic. That allows me to do that. I've got an understanding wife, thank you, Polly, who doesn't mind too much when I disappear. But yes, yeah, you're right. It is always going to be a balancing act unless you're very lucky.
Well, one thing you touched on in your email that you sent to me was the importance of modern technology, in particular the internet and social media. I guess it's kind of obvious, but it kind of isn't at the same time. Tell us how social media and the internet has helped you as a musician.
Well, for me, I'm even though I'm a designer and a web designer, I'm no big fan of social media. So I'm not going to go into why, but it's very important for bands. Obviously, bands that gig, you can have your Facebook page, you have lots of links that go into it. It's a very popular way of actually getting links going off into other websites. There are a lot of websites for bands to upload their music, which is something that I've done. And generally, from the legal side of being able to distribute and produce your own music, distribution sites like DistroKid and TuneCore, they're the sort of the websites that I use, the services that I use. And it means that just one person or a band can actually go and have their music distributed across streaming sites or download sites like Amazon or Apple. And you can do it yourself. You do not need anyone else to come in and take a cut. You can actually do the whole job yourself, and that's what I like, actually taking that total control back, and the musician does it, you know, the writer does it.
And it is amazing, isn't it? But because we have a music industry that likes to be very much in control, and on the other scale we have people who are in a position whereby they can actually, for very little money, actually produce a video, some music, put it out there on the internet and promote it amongst their friends and get it sort of put out all over the place. And I would imagine that most record companies, big record companies, actually look out for that kind of talent on the web. I mean, there's been, one that comes to mind was Sandy Tom, who a few years ago had a big hit with something about being a punk rocker with flowers in her hair. Yeah. She was one person that initially put it out on a video on YouTube, and then it got picked on by a record company, and then just became a big hit.
Absolutely, but we're talking about these sort of tips of the iceberg, where you'll hear about these stories, but there, as we said earlier, there are so many creative people producing a massive sort of back catalogue of original stuff that never gets heard. Yeah. And that's just simply the way it is, because it's just the numbers. And the companies really don't need to search that hard for material that fits in with what they're looking for. I think the shame of it is that, as we were saying, that it's become a little bit more convoluted, that there isn't such a wide gamut of bands and styles of music that are easily attainable by the listener. You've got to really search them out. And that's something that I've done. I'm sure a lot of other people do as well, that if you want something slightly different, slightly more edgy or whatever it might be, yeah, you've got to go looking for it. But the beauty is that actually is there, you know, you just Google it or something, you will find stuff. I found some fantastic Icelandic music, Norwegian music from bands that I'd never heard of before, and it's a shame, but at least I can now access them and listen to them and support them.
Yeah, I mean, there is a way that people who are searching for something new, something different, can go and find it on the web. But for it to sort of come to the mainstream, it just still needs to be picked up on and just put into that area.
Yes, I suppose if you're talking about something, some sort of financial success or some marketing success, then it apparently is the way to go, that you've still got these larger companies, and there are only a few of them now, you know, they've all bought each other out, that that will actually invest in you. But even so, now, not like the, you know, old days of yore, it's for a limited time. You have to have an almost instant success and then be able to follow it up, and I think that seems to be quite rare. I think there was sort of talk about there are only a few writers who actually are writing all the hits nowadays.
Mm. We were talking before we came on Vier about Ed Sheeran, who, even if it's not in his name, there's a great deal of songs that are in the top 40 chart, which were actually written by Ed Sheeran. And it does make you wonder what is wrong with the music scene when one person, even though he is talented, I'll give him that, there is something wrong in the system when one individual can have such a dominance.
Yeah, I think it's just because as a business, everything is streamlined now.
Yeah.
And they don't really need to go off the path and look for stuff. That's the way it seems to be, certainly.
Yeah. You know, but. Well, we're certainly trying to break the mold here in The Flash, that's for sure. We've got another one from you, Big Blue Car. It's you singing, and every single instrument is played by you. It's all mixed by you. Everything is 100% you on these tracks. I must point that out once again. So let's have a listen to another one from Big Blue Car. And this time it's Peaceful Day. Now, tell us about this one before we play it.
Right, essentially I started to think about things that I did as a youngster. Now, there was a time when in the summer holidays, myself and a few friends, we would try to go from the outskirts of Leigh Park and see if we could get through to Havant to Langston without being seen. So we'd go under hedges and through little tunnels by streams and see if we could do that. And that was initially the inspiration for this track, about sort of reminiscing about how we had really peaceful days of just sort of silly things that we used to do that were quite innocent but great fun. And that was the start of the idea. It goes into other things as well, but that was certainly the sort of linchpin, the main idea for that song.
Okay, so let's have a listen to this one, Vin. This is a Big Blue Car, and it's Peaceful Day.
Lace wing, touch of open sky. System that bubbles in the gaze of a thoughtful man. Hail to my best thing. You pulled me from my drifting and trapped me in the arms of a better life. Seems to be rejoicing. Steal yourself away, armed with many shaking spears. We'll lose you in the night when we're poking in burrows. Fortunate, wandering along the lapping shoreline, picking up jewels from deep within the ocean.
Our fantastic there's Big Blue Car, and that's a Peaceful Day, and everything on that track produced by Kev Williams, who is our guest in the studio this evening. And now we're going to have some local music from somebody else very shortly, but before we do that, we're going to hear another one of your choices, Kev, and the next one is something from Split Enz. Now this is Shark Attack. Now tell us why you've chosen this one.
Oh, I absolutely love Split Enz, and I'm not talking about my own hair. Yeah, I saw Split Enz when they came across from New Zealand. They were playing Portsmouth, Locarno, was it? Some little place in Portsmouth, in around about 78, and they were all done up, dressed up as clowns with sort of white faces and just bizarre. And they had, you know, one of them was having like a fit on the ground, and you thought, well, this is just a bit of a joke. But they're very good musicians, so good that they can actually play discordant music and then come back out and play the proper chords and the proper notes. So I love them for just producing very original music. This one's a little bit more hard-hitting, simple, and shows another sort of more commercial side to them, which is equally good. And of course the Finn brothers, Neil Finn and Tim Finn, were just fantastic songwriters.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of you actually chose two songs that you wanted to hear from Split Enz. The other one was 6 Months in a Leaky Boat, which I thought I had. I couldn't find it.
No.
Okay. In many places. I was trying to find the album it was actually from and couldn't find that. I was quite surprised because that's quite a familiar one with me, one of my favourites. Yeah. But we've chosen this one because it's one that I'm not so familiar with. So this is a choice of Kev this evening. This is Split Enz, and it's Shark Attack. Yes, good night. Yes, we are a radio station that does like to play stuff outside of a box. And it's a real pleasure to have Kev here sharing some of his favourites as well as his own music. Well, once I got around to pressing the right button, we did have it to listen to again. There you go. That was Terence Brown, and that was Run a Mile. And as I said, it is now available on CD Baby for just 99p. Just go to your web and type in cdbaby.com/CD/ Terence Brown. It's probably an easier way, but it's more catchy than that. But go on to CD Baby, and for 99p, you can download Terence Brown and Run a Mile. Absolutely fantastic sound, and we'll be hearing much more from that here on The Flash, that is for sure. Now, we're once again chatting to Kev this evening about Big Blue Car, and we kind of had a little bit of it just before we played Terence Brown, which was my mistake, but we're going to hear it in full now. It's the next one from you, sir, and this is A Big Blue Car and Hurry on Sundown. Now, tell us a little bit about this.
Right. Hurry on Sundown is a cover, or rather the second part of the song is the cover, and it's a Hawkwind cover, which was early 70s. It was originally a very simple song that Dave Brock wrote, protest song, I think. And I have a soft spot for the Space Rockers original punk band Hawkwind, which is exactly what they were. I just love their stuff and the way they just put everything together with synths and with heavy guitars and Lemmy on the bass and just everything just let rip, and I just love it. It's slight, sort of bordering on chaos, but this song I originally recorded as a for my sister's 60th birthday, because she liked Hawkwind as well, so it was only meant to be just for her. And in the end, I sort of dusted it up and tidied it and added a little bit of a musical intro and decided, yeah, I like that, I'm going to release it as well. So that's what I've done.
Okay, so let's hear it then. This is Big Blue Car and it's Hurry on Sundown. There's Big Blue Car, and that's Hurry on Sundown on The Flash this evening. Now, I must ask you, Kev, because we heard from Terence Brown and that brilliant track from him earlier on, and you really enjoyed that, didn't you? You were thoroughly enjoying it.
I think it was really good track. It reminded me of a few bands. It did have a little bit of a sort of an Oasis edge to it, but yeah, fantastic. I liked it. Liked it a lot.
Brilliant stuff. Well, we'll be hearing much more of that over the coming months, that is for sure. Right now, we're going to have the gig guide, a little bit of a look at what's going to be happening, some of the things that are going to be happening live music-wise in the area over the coming week. Kev, we're going to have another track that you've chosen, one of your favourites, and it's a band that I'm a big fan of as well. I went into a record store in the early 90s, and I used to go into record stores and find CDs from bands that I've never even heard of, but I'd look at the album cover and think, I think I'm going to dig that. I like the album cover, and I buy it, and then I managed to come across some real bands that I wouldn't have come across otherwise. Mm. And this is one of them, Jellyfish. And you're going to have a track that you've chosen from Jellyfish called The King Is Half Undressed. Now, tell us about Jellyfish, and in particular this one that you've chosen.
Right, Jellyfish were a very talented American band, hailing, I think, from the sort of West Coast scene. And as you say, early 90s, they did, I think, two albums. Belly Button was the first one. They're just very good songwriters, and all of the members loved the Beatles and the way that the Beatles wrote, and I think you can hear some of that coming across.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. The reason I picked that band in particular was because they did two fantastic albums, some brilliant live stuff, and then disappeared, and you never heard from them again. I'm sure the individual members are producing other bands or somewhere in the business, because they, you know, deservedly so. I just thought that Jellyfish need to be highlighted somewhere, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. And I've actually got another album from them, which I've often played tracks from, which is, I don't know if it's their first or second album.
Yeah, that's their second.
Yeah. Spilt Milk. I've got that one, and one of my favourite tracks is Joining a Fan Club. But we're going to listen to this one, and I'm going to be hearing this one for the very first time, and I'm going to enjoy doing so. This is Jellyfish, and The King Is Half Undressed. Fantastic. There's Jellyfish and The King Is Half Undressed, taken from their Belly Button album. And that was the last choice on the programme this evening, as time tells us, from my guest this evening, Kev Williams of Big Blue Car. Thank you ever so much, Kev, for joining us this evening. We're coming rapidly towards the end of the programme, but one thing I must squeeze in before we finish is your contact details. How can our listeners find out more about your music?
The simplest way really is just to go to bigbluecar.net, and all my music's available there. Information on me if you wish to delve a little deeper. So that's the main thing. Or just hit Google and go put in Big Blue Car music, and you will find me on various sort of download sites.
It's probably better to put in Big Blue Car music. If you put Big Blue Car, you're going to get lots of photographs of blue cars.
Big Blue Cars, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, there you go. So, Kev of Big Blue Car, thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Say you're of Big Blue Car. You are Big Blue Car.
I am indeed.
Of course. Yeah. But thank you ever so much for spending some time with us, not only sharing your music and your memories and also some of your favourite music. It's been great to have you in this evening, and we hope to have you in again in the not too distant future.
Great. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you ever so much, Kevin. And a big thank you. Oh, I must tell you that, have I got time? Yes. I just had a quick message in from Sue Martin in Liverpool, who says she's enjoying the interview, and she said she loved the Split Ends track and absolutely loved the Hawkwind cover as well. So thank you ever so much for that, Sue. Thank you, everybody. And don't forget, do stay with us here in The Flash, coming up very shortly.